Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Thank you, Rick Regan, our big voice guy who watches every day from Kansas. It is episode number 18 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker in North Regina for this Wednesday, June the 26th. I'm Rod Peterson. My Sundance kid, Darren DuPont, not with us today. And man, is there a story behind that. So filling the role of Paul Schaefer this morning is the great Derek Duke Myers. How are you doing?
Should have worn my glasses, I guess, if I would have known I was going to be Paul Schaefer.
And brought your keyboard.
I don't even know where my glasses are anymore. If I don't have contacts, I wouldn't be able to get here.
Are you ready to have fun today?
Yes, well, I'm here.
Yep.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. As our friend Johnny Athens says. So no DuPont. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's going to go on in the show today. The Duke with me, as mentioned. Former rider Marcus Chunky Adams is going to join us from Phoenix, Arizona. Second rider alum in 2 days joining us from Phoenix. Yesterday, Eddie Davis. A show or an interview that's been viewed thousands of times. ED was great. Chunky will join us to talk about himself, but also the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a team with whom he was a guest coach in this training camp this year. Yeah, there's something interesting about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Would you not agree?
You seem to think that they have number one status, but they shouldn't be planning the parade yet. Are we still? That's where we were last year. Or sorry, last week. Is that where we still are?
Well, they haven't played since, so nothing's changed in that regard. Other than they've reduced beer prices and concession prices for their home opener
Thursday.
Very
interesting. Very interesting. I will tip my cap to them for trying to generate some buzz. I feel like the buzz this season, I'm having a tough time getting going this season. And I don't know why. I think possibly because the Riders away for the first 2 weeks, both Thursday night games. But yeah, I'm having trouble getting some traction getting into the season quite as much as I normally have.
We're going to work on that. Blake writing in on the Facebook feed says, good morning, guys. What do you got for us today? Joseph says, good morning from New York. Joseph Lazito. So that's what I'm getting to. Some rider talk here. I wrote a 10 things column this morning. It's on my Facebook page. It's on rodpeterson.com with some thoughts on the heat on the team at 0-2. Whether it's deserved or it's not, there is heat. We got a lot of time today to get through all of that. I can't believe that there's some discussion about Craig Dickinson's job being in jeopardy at 0-2. That is crazy talk. That's silly. But some of it's from football people. It's not just from Joe Blow on the street. That's just, again, how football people like to talk and gossip, right? Mm. That's what they do. No, I can't imagine that Craig Dickinson's job is in any way, shape, or form in trouble. But a lot of football talk there today. Now, the Stanley Cup is coming to Regina next weekend. Not this weekend, right, but next. Tyler Bozak and Jaden Schwartz of the St. Louis Blues are bringing it to Regina. I'm not going to spoil the surprise, but Dustin Halverson, who we've told Clark, the producer, to label him as hockey aficionado, local hockey aficionado, Dustin Halverson, very close friend of Jaden Schwartz, is like, sounds like going to be the keeper of the cup that particular weekend.
That scares me a little bit.
And Dustin, whose nickname is Pickle Stab.
Oh, Torquay's finest.
By his friends at the Wascana Golf and Country Club. Pickle Stab will be in here to talk about where the cup's going to be, where you can see it, what the schedule is, and all the rest.
We should clarify that nickname and reference.
From Mike Tate.
Well, but it's about a golf swing. It has nothing to do with the other.
No, they said it. When he's putting, it looks like he's stabbing a pickle.
Yes.
I know pickle stab. Yes. It's a great nickname for Dustin Halverson.
Gotta clarify for some people, though, because they think we might be headed down a different alley there.
Also, From CTV Regina, the peerless Don Hewitt will be joining us. A legend of this industry. Been covering the Riders since 1979. Don Hewitt will be here to talk about Canada's team. And I'm interested to get his take. You're smiling over there like a butcher's dog.
Because you go, as soon as you talk about any of these guys who've been around for a little bit of a generation, you automatically go into Lynch voice.
I know.
You turn into 1979, the Calgary Stampeders, led by blah, 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 come in here, it was a windy day. You go into John Lynch mode
every time,
automatically.
1979. Dave Spadafora says, good morning from Regina, watching you on my 50-inch screen in surround sound.
Oof.
I love the fact that people are putting it up on their television. I know the Hilmer family doing that. Allison telling me her husband, Wade, does that every day when he comes home from work, plugs it into the TV and watches it. It's awesome. I'm slowly meandering through our guests today. So many, we are in the warm-up right now, brought to you by ...
Insert your company name here.
Exactly. We did welcome new sponsors to the program yesterday, Prairie Mobile Communications, your authorized SaaS telemobility dealer, and Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision. So they're all getting on board the Rod Peterson Show. As I continue. Oh, breaking news from Stephen Numedal. Watching from Prince Albert, the Riders have grabbed offensive lineman Jake Bennett in the CFL supplemental draft. Gave up their third round pick in 2020. Help for the offensive line may be on the way. Thank you, Stephen, for helping us with the breaking news.
The BC Lions should look into picking an offensive lineman, maybe.
Justin Dunk breaking that story, we're told, by producer Clark. So way to go, JD. Few other things. Visiting with Doug McKell, whom you would know from Indian Head. Fairly legendary football coach out there. He said he would support and watch and listen to every show that I do, whether it be on radio, Facebook, television, whatever. Right. He's all in. But he said his wife, Judy, loves this show more than any other because we don't just talk about football. We talk about all sports. We talk about life, as you've noticed.
Yes. Yes, it does tend to sometimes veer off the highway and down the prairie trail, as it were.
And that's what what Judy likes about it. So thank you, Judy. We like that you like it. I want to clarify a couple things. It seems to have offended a lot of women that I said this is like The View for guys. And I was thinking about that driving here today around Ring Road on Big Bird.
Is that bad?
Saying it might have been a poor choice of words by me or the wrong phrase. All my point is that when you turn on The View in the morning, it's three or four women sitting at a desk talking about current events. This is three guys or two sitting at a desk talking about sports.
Yep.
That's all that I'm saying. And Claire talks about bringing in Claire Hanna.
I was going to say, I loved it.
Yeah, but so from time to time, The View will bring in Ryan Seacrest or some version of male eye candy who provides substance. I'm a big fan of Ryan Seacrest. So from time to time, we'll bring in the odd female. And Claire was outstanding. Very, very good.
I thought she tiptoed through the Chris Jones.
Didn't she?
I thought she did that very politically, very properly. I may not have been quite as nice and as savvy as she was. She certainly had room, I think, and latitude to maybe bring the hammer down a little bit, but very professional of her. And I think Claire's outstanding. I really do.
Well, that's the thing about what's great about shows like this. Several things. But I was talking to Claire's boss the other night at the Four Seasons Ball.
I saw you were hobnobbing.
That sounds so mucky muck, doesn't
bougie.
It?
Bougie.
You're the second guy to use that term in the last week. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
How do you spell bougie?
I've just heard it.
So I'm talking to J.C. Garden, the great J.C. Garden, who's the news director at CTV Regina, and we were talking about this show. And he said that they met at CTV Regina as a staff and said, we're going to support this show because it's great for cross-promotion, and that's why you've seen Don Hewitt and Daryl Rommeld and Claire Hanna. And Lee Jones, there's been an invitation extended to. He's on paternity leave now.
He is very busy, Rod. He is
parenting,
looking after Remy. He is 1 month paternity. You could follow him on Instagram, and there is a daily update on what is going on in the life of Paternity Jones.
Paternity Jones, I like it. Lee Jones. Anyways, CTV is all in. And they're supporting it. And it worked perfectly in the case of Clara Hanna, where you just see them on the screen for their 2 minutes or her 30-second sideline report. You don't get to know them. And here, you get to know them. Mm-hmm. And Claire just knocked it out of the park, as you said.
Former national team volleyball player.
Yes.
So she's no stranger to...
And Don Hewitt will come by and do the exact same thing later on, because he never gets tired of talking about Canada's team. Which is still Canada's team, right?
You think so?
It's a good topic, and I'm not sure today's the day for that topic.
They didn't win the ratings in week one.
No, and I might wait to see how Monday's game goes. I'm holding Regina Riot tickets, by the way. I'm going to get to that. Fell until somebody takes it away from them.
Fair enough. Who's closest?
I think Edmonton.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be. I mean, I'm not willing to just give up the, you know, you got to beat the champ to become the
champ.
That's
what I'm saying.
But a 2-0 start. Edmonton is always right there neck and neck when it comes to attendance, home attendance numbers, and when it comes to the ratings on television as well. The Riders, quite honestly, are off to a little bit of a rocky start when you're using those metrics this year. But they haven't had a home game yet. They haven't got their first win yet, which I think is just around the corner. So, yeah, it's this is kind of like predicting who's going to be the prime minister in
pretty
July.
Pretty hard to do.
In July, when the election is in October. I mean, a little patience here. So I would still say, my opinion, as you describe it, Canada's team right now.
For now, the Riders are still the marquee franchise in the Canadian Football League. I defy you to name anybody else. And until some other team takes that over. Now, it should be Calgary. It should be, right? Based on Grey Cup championships and wins. But when they can't fill the stadium habitually, unfortunately, it may never be Calgary.
Well, and how do they travel? That's a big, big metric on, are you the franchise that leads the way in a league? The Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, when you go to a game in Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Los Angeles, there's a lot of Leaf fans. The Dallas Cowboys. Anywhere you go in the States, there's a pack of Dallas. I mean, we were in Arizona way back when. On the
70%
first
of the stadium was Cowboys fans.
When the Cowboys walked out and they introduced the Cowboys for the warm-up, the place, like, vibrated.
Yep. In Arizona.
That is how you are the franchise of a league. And I would say that the Edmonton Eskimos would not travel as well as the Saskatchewan Roughriders. You go to a game in Toronto. You go to a game in Hamilton. You're seeing Rider jerseys. For crying out loud, there was Rider jerseys at the Raptors game in the finals. That right, you didn't see any Stampeders jerseys. You didn't see any Edmonton Eskimo jerseys. So I still contend, yes, the Riders are the marquee franchise.
The potential lack of buzz around the green and white right now, they are still the marquee franchise in the CFL. Now, what your barometer is for deciding that are various things. I mean, if you talk about traveling fan groups to road games, the Riders will never be beaten for that.
Bank account.
Bank account, too. That's but when you're one. Talking about championships, TV ratings, number one draw on the road. It's a fun discussion. Clark, can you put the thing back up there on the tickets for the Jazz Fest? Just a couple of contests that we're running here on the Rod Peterson Show. One, Donna in Central Butte, you have won a pair of tickets to your choice of events at Jazz Fest in Saskatoon this weekend. Personally, I would suggest Jan Arden Sunday night. I've been a big Jan Arden fan for over 20 years. Plus, she's a person in a long-term recovery. I would love to go see Jan Arden. So you've won, Donna, and what she had to do was take a photo of where she was watching the show from and tweet it. Lots of people did. She randomly won.
You don't want that? You don't want me taking that from the bathroom? Then?
No. If it works, Clark, putting up on my prompter here, send us a Facebook message or a tweet with a picture of where you're watching from today for a chance to win one of six pairs of tickets to the Sask Jazz Festival in Saskatoon this weekend. So again, Donna, if you can't make Jan Arden on Sunday night, you can go to any of the other nights. Our producer, Clark, will be in touch with you. But for anybody else, tweet us a photo of you watching this program, wherever it may be, and you'll win a pair of tickets to the Sask Jazz Festival in Saskatoon this weekend. From Mike, watching from the seat of the sprayer in the Davidson area.
Love it. That scares me a little, having been a guy that's been on a sprayer.
Davidson. What do they call that? The Midway Town?
It's the world's largest coffee pot?
No.
Davidson. Yeah, yeah.
What's the smallest place by a dam site?
Craik.
That's Craik, I think.
Yeah, but the coffee pot is Davidson.
Okay. I love Davidson. The Midway town. Moving on. And maybe we'll get into this football talk with Dusty Halverson when he joins. More hockey talk when he comes in. But here's what my circle's talking about. It's not all about the Riders. Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to call up for what the exact list is, but it's not about who's going in. And congratulations, Haley Wickenheiser, by the way.
That one's not debatable.
That is a slam dunk. First year of eligibility,
100%.
She's in.
Nobody's arguing that one.
Now, the rest. What the heck was the guy's name?
Sergei Zubov?
No, Vaslav. No, Sergei. I'm a Dallas Stars fan from way back.
So Guy Carboneau?
Zuby, for sure. Carboneau.
It was the first guy to
excuse me while I type. Guy Carboneau's won 3 Stanley Cups. He won the Selkie, I think, 5 times.
Uh-huh. 3
what,
times.
What is three anybody times. Bitching about with Guy Carboneau? Come on. If you Did are you complaining, stop it, that Guy Carboneau is going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, then you have an anti-French bias. That's your problem, not Guy Carboneau's problem. Here, Vaslav Nedomansky. Now I got a problem. Because if you're putting him in just because he's the first player from a communist country to come to the National Hockey League, then you're making a political statement, which is fine. But then you got to put in Paul Henderson for scoring the biggest goal in Canadian hockey history. And you know the argument has long been, well, he didn't have a great career. He didn't have a Hall of Fame career. Did Nedomansky? The answer is no. So you can't have one without the other. Well, actually, you can. You can do whatever the hell you want. But you're also going to open yourself up to criticism. And this is why I could spend hours on the Hall of Fame debate. I love the Halls of Fame debate because I don't get that hot and bothered about drafts. I don't.
Really?
Have you seen the percentages of guys that get drafted that actually make it?
Hey, I'm an Oilers
fan. Well below 50%, people.
I'm an Oilers fan. I've seen lots of it.
I get the hype over why you would be excited about the draft, and I damn sure get the hype of why the Blaisdell family would be excited that Harry got drafted, or the Doc family that Kirby got drafted. I get that, but I don't care. I'm feigning interest on the weekend of the NHL draft because more than half of these guys will never play, whereas the Hall of Fame debate... And it's this committee gets raked over the coals every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you have to understand, you're never going to agree with every pick. You
of
know that,
you're
right?
But.
So I'm stunned that Wendell Clark is not in the Hockey Hall of Fame, but maybe that's just because I love him too much. And it's the same thing with Theo Fleury. Why does my thing keep falling
Struggling.
Out? Sorry. I'm starting to sweat and my earplug's falling out. Better than my hair plugs. Everybody gets upset and they say this committee needs to be examined. This committee should be ashamed of itself. So this morning I Googled who's on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who's on? Did you read my column? It sounds like
there's a couple of Montreal writers. I have not had time to read your column this morning.
Lanny McDonald. This is not all, but some. These are the main guys. Lanny McDonald, John Davidson, David Branch, Brian Burke, Colin Campbell, Cassie Campbell, no relation, Bob Clark, Bob McKenzie, Yari Curry, Mike Gartner, Pierre Maguire, Luke Robitaille. They're hockey people. They're not some idiot scribe, which Bob McKenzie is not. And not that scribes are idiots, but these are guys and gals that play the game. I respect every single one of them. So they must have, when they got on the committee, found that envelope under the desk that says, under no circumstances can you ever induct Paul Henderson. What did Paul do?
What did Paul do? That's a better question. To the Hockey Hall of Fame, not the Canadian Hockey Hall of Fame. Should he be a Canadian Hockey Hall of Famer? Of course. He scored what is arguably the biggest goal in the biggest series ever to involve hockey in this nation. What does that mean to Czechoslovakia? What does that mean to Sweden? What does that mean to Finland? What does that mean to the United States? It means absolutely squat that goal. We are biased here.
So you don't think he should be in?
Based off of just that goal or his performance in that series? No, I don't think so. As a hockey player whole, I mean, given the fact that some of these guys have gone in now, and I am looking at, like Zubov or Guy Carboneau for that matter, Yeah, but Henderson seems to be close when it comes to that criteria. But then you look at guys like McGillney not in there. I think Jeremy Roenick isn't in there yet. I mean, now you're splitting hairs. But if we're just going based on he scored the biggest goal in Canadian hockey history, who cares? We're one nation.
Fair.
It is the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Fair. But then why does Václav Nedomanský get in on a political statement that he was the first player to ever come over? Because he didn't have a Hall of Fame career
either. Is Willie O'Ree in there?
I believe he is.
Groundbreaking. Trend, you know, groundbreaking. Contribution to moving the game forward. Did Paul Henderson move the game forward? You can argue either way, but I don't really think so. But being the first guy to cross that wall, to cross that line, get us behind the curtain and come over. You don't have Peter Nedved disappearing from the Max tournament if you don't have this guy coming from the Czech Republic. You don't have Grant Fuhrs. You don't have these type of players if Willie O'Ree doesn't pave the way for them. So there is something to be said. They may not statistically be the best player, but what they did moved the game forward in the years and decades
Paul
to come.
And Paul Henderson didn't?
I don't know that he really did. You know what I would argue maybe moved the game further ahead than anything in that series is Phil Esposito's interview after the game in Vancouver.
That was great.
It was unbelievable. That brought out passion. Yes, Henderson, but did anybody start playing hockey because Paul Henderson scored
Possibly.
That goal?
Possibly. How would we know?
There's a lot more Czechoslovakian and Czech players that have come over since. Jaromír Jágr. I mean, do you have Jaromír Jágr if you don't have this guy coming over?
Well,
Nedomanský.
As we wrap up warm up, they're telling us to get off the ice. It gets down to personal opinion now, and that's what I love about the Hall of Fame's debate versus draft debates. Jack Hughes, who nobody really knows who he is. And by the way, he went number one overall to New Jersey on the weekend. So that's my take. We will pause. Producer Clark telling us that he likes drafts. Well, there's nothing about drafts not to like.
Wasn't he there?
I'm just saying I like the Hall of Fame debates far more, as evidenced by the last 5 minutes. And at some point, we'll get around to Kawhi Leonard, too, because I've mentioned that we are a basketball family. And in my circles, the people that I talk to, they're talking about Kawhi Leonard and will he be a Toronto Raptor next year. Dustin Holverson can talk about all of this when we come back. This has been the warm-up. This is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. SleekSigns.com.
laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
I love that. That's me and Frenzy coming to the show on Friday. Frenzy will be here.
Has he ever driven the Jeep? Have you ever owned him?
I can barely get him in it. Scares the hell out of him. We got to put a GoPro up on that thing. Tuesday morning sports update on the Rod Peterson Show. The Toronto Maple Leafs have extended qualifying offers to four restricted free agents, including star winger Mitch Marner, forwards Andreas Johnsson, Kasperi Kapanen, and Michael Carsoni were also extended offers. The Arizona Coyotes have acquired forward Carl Soderberg from the Avalanche for defenseman Kevin Connaughton and a third-round pick in 2020. The New York Yankees have set a major league record by homering for the 28th consecutive game. DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, and Edwin Encarnacion provided the long balls as the Yanks beat the Blue Jays 4-3 last night. And Masai Ujiri says he appreciates the interest from other NBA clubs, but his roots are in Toronto. Raptors president held an end-of-season press conference yesterday and said he is happy with the city and the team. Reports surfaced shortly after the Raptors won their first NBA title that the Washington Wizards were preparing a lucrative offer to lure Ujiri out of Toronto, but he's staying put in the T-dot. So that's your Tuesday morning sports update. Thanks for being with us, everybody. With a warm-up out of the way, we've got Derek Myers with us, the Duke. Darren DuPont is off to BC with one of our investors. Don't ask. So Dustin Halverson has come in.
Pinch hitting.
Yes, I'm glad to have him. The great Dustin Pickle Stab Halverson. Have a look at the screen there. We've called
Perfect.
You organizers of Regina Stanley Cup celebrations.
Oh, not organizer.
I'm helping. I know. I said put hockey aficionado up there, but I guess that wasn't good enough.
Former Torquay Lion? Did you?
Yeah. That too. The pride of Torquay.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the pride.
I don't know. They didn't put a sign up or anything.
Dustin, you're good to talk about all these things, right?
Sure.
Riders, NBA, blah, blah, blah. But the reason you're here, and Dustin's going to be a regular on the program, the Stanley Cup, We got to go back and explain your friendship with Jaden Schwartz. It has a little to do with the golf shirt that you're wearing right now. Tyler Bozak, they're bringing the cup to Regina next week. Everybody wants to know
it's
how.
Hard to believe that's next week.
Yeah, it's come up really fast.
He only found out a week ago.
Jaden.
Yeah, Jaden found out a week ago and he sent a text going, I'm going to need a little help with this. And obviously, with Tyler being from Regina and, you know, Mitch Bozak and Justin Bozak, that family is very connected in the community. But from a Schwartz standpoint, I was just happy to maybe help make a couple of arrangements or suggestions. So it looks to be a pretty packed day.
So let's just back up. You got to know Jaden through the Hockey and Hearts Golf Tournament, and probably Bozy too, because he's been in it before.
Yeah, mostly through the Hockey and Hearts.
Right, and then I want you to talk about that, and then going to the Stanley Cup Finals this year.
Sure, so some of your audience might remember myself from the Country 100 Morning Show with Rusty
Dustin Dion.
That's right. Dion's the middle name. So back in my Medicine Hat radio stop, the guy's like, Halverson, no one's going to know what that is. They can't hear that and spell it, so we're not going to let you use it. So yeah, anyway, during my time in Moose Jaw, got a chance to meet some of the people in Rolo, and they asked me to come out and MC the Hockey and Hearts gala, the dinner after the golf, and I got to do that for 8 of 9 years, and it turned out to be the last year of this committee putting it on this past year, after donating over $1 million to Saskatchewan,
unbelievable
Saskatchewan causes, and Bill Ollie and Keith Ollie and Crystal Ollie all deserve, and then the whole committee,
and Karen,
yeah, they
better
just
put mom in there.
Yeah, they just all deserve so much recognition for how many people they've helped and how much fun we had. But then the friendships that were formed, and Jaden was in his first year in the league, and was a guest there, and I said, hey, do you like to golf? He's like, yeah, after I work out in the day, I'd love to golf. And so we got quite a few rounds in and formed our friendship through meeting through the Hockey and
Arts. So fast forward to the Stanley Cup Finals this year.
Yeah.
You were there.
Got an opportunity to go down to game 6 at home of the finals, hoping for, I mean, obviously they made history in game 7, but game 6 would have been a total different gong show.
Won, yeah.
I mean, the city was lit. It was ready for the biggest party it's ever had. from Ballpark Village, which is maybe 3 kilometers to the rink, right outside the Cardinal Stadium. They have this indoor-outdoor, crazy, wicked American setup that only Americans know how to do, you know? And then the whole way to the rink was lined with people, and then about 100,000 people outside the rink. And I thought the Blues outplayed Boston in the first 2 periods, but got down and then just couldn't recover, and it obviously went to Game 7. But, you know, from getting an opportunity to go down, spend some time with Jaden between the games, and spend time with family, and then because of Rick and Carol Schwartz, they were hanging out with other parents. So it was a really interesting dynamic to not feel like a fan, but almost like a family member. Right. Ahead of something that could be so spectacular in winning the Stanley Cup at home, like pins and needles. It felt almost more like being in a hospital waiting room for somebody to come out of surgery.
But it was a bad game, unfortunately.
It wasn't the best game in the world, for sure. But, you know, when you look at the pressures that these players are dealing with, and then how banged up they are. We went for breakfast the next day after Game 6. It was sunny just like today, and Jaden put his arms out and he's like, guys, I haven't seen the sun in 2 months. He goes, think about it. Winnipeg, that series was 2 months ago. Since then, yeah. He might as well have been and you forget that, right? As a fan, you forget that because our lives roll on and we might miss a game here or there. But meanwhile,
they're working.
Yeah, they're getting worked on nonstop every day. They're going in massages and ice tubs and then pregame skates, then back for a nap. And then, you know, they got to be eating right. No drinking.
Poor guys.
Well, honestly, they lose years off their life in a playoff run like that.
I can believe that.
No wonder so many teams win the cup and don't make the playoffs the next year. And I think, you know, just getting a peek behind the curtain a little bit of it was pretty cool for a fan like myself to be able to take that in and put in perspective. And then all the distractions. I know I'm kind of a hypocrite in this, but like, hey, Jaden, you just won Game 5. Should I come down for Game 6? Do you have tickets? What's the ticket situation? Where should we stay? And all of a sudden, each one of these players are doing that for probably 20, 25 different guys during the run. And the way it works for the players is they get 2 free tickets to every game, and then they get 3 from the NHL at cost. Okay, so then they're on their own. So here, you know, we got players going on StubHub and buying tickets for their friends and having to worry about that element. And, you know, obviously they want to share the moment with their friends, but it's also kind of tough combined with all the other distractions and pressures. The game night, even though they were in St. Louis, they all stayed at a hotel to get away. For the guys who have wives and kids and everything, they just want to get them away from distractions. And it also helped that St. Louis was such a good road team that they kind of wanted to emulate that as best they could just to get them away. And yeah, anyway, Game 6 was epic. It was still great, even though they didn't win. It was a tough one to be there and have so much potential, but then not.
But you're glad you went.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Like, the experience was phenomenal, and still Game 6 of a Stanley Cup final. And considered going to Boston for Game 7, but the Blues, no matter win or loss, we're going to celebrate just at the game. They do 45 minutes on the ice with just family, then 45 minutes in the room with just the players and the cup, and then from there directly to their flight. And they flew back at 3 a.m. They landed, and then the party was on, and it went from 3 a.m. continuously until 8 p.m. The next day. So
I don't doubt it.
Put in a shift.
Vegas? Did they go to Vegas?
Some did.
They did after. Yeah. But they had Vegas booked win or loss because they knew Wednesday night was Game 7. They knew they could go to Vegas for Saturday, win or loss, because they were done. And I don't think a moment too soon after, you know, you think about it. Dallas went to Game 7, double overtime. San Jose was grueling. Winnipeg was a shorter series than most expected, but still such a heavy team. So St. Louis, and then to go to Game 7 against Boston, the teams they beat and how deep they had to go in the series. And yeah, like that took a toll. If they didn't have the depth as an organization on D and forward, I don't think they could have done it.
So I don't know how long it's been since I saw you. I guess it was Saturday I ran into you. And at that time, you were just formulating a schedule for the Stanley Cup. For those that just tuned in, the Stanley Cup is coming to Regina next weekend.
Yep, the 6th.
So take it from there, if you don't mind.
It's going to be in Saskatoon with the Shens on the Friday.
The 5th.
On the 5th. And then The Schwartz and Bozak combination is half of the day, a little over half the day on Saturday, and then they're going to share it a little bit on Sunday as well. So yeah, it's pretty cool. It shows up at their house around 10 a.m.
Saturday.
On Saturday. And from there, they have plans to go to the hospital and do a small tour and make some people's days there. So they're coordinating that. The public event where everybody is welcome will be at the legislative building. I believe Premier Mo and a couple of the dignitaries will be speaking. And if it's a nice day like today, fingers crossed, there'll be a table out in front and a chance for kids and families to come and meet their hockey heroes and see the Stanley Cup.
Is there time on that?
Not officially, but if it's going to be like kind of around that 11:30.
Okay.
11:30.
Saturday, July 6th, folks, at the Ledge, Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's a couple of private parties booked, which will be invite only for family, friends, kids, wives to come and get a chance to see the players for the first time since they won, see the cup, celebrate together. And then we've been working with the Riders because, I mean, it's crazy that the Stanley Cup shows up in Regina on a night of a home game.
Right.
And with such Saskatchewan presence on that team, I think, regardless if you're a longtime Bruins fan, and I have a friend in Estevan who was, he said, with all the Canadian content and the Saskatchewan content on the team, I'm not going to be bothered to see St. Louis beat the Bruins because that's just so cool for our province. And so when you think Saskatchewan on a sports level, you think about our hockey and you think about our Riders. And so Saturday the 6th, we're just wrapping up the final details. So I wouldn't say it's official, but it looks like it should be able to happen, that they were overwhelmingly excited to say, we want to do something for the boys and do a tribute to them and to have the Stanley Cup at Mosaic.
So they're in. It's just how are you going to do it?
We're just, which part of the game.
Put them in the back of Gaynor's little vehicle there and just drive them around.
Maybe
they
can bring out the old touchdown car and the boys can be. I miss that thing.
I love that thing.
You know, no offense to the sponsorships. You know, that's great too.
Well, let's all say, how would you like to see the Stanley Cup be brought out at Mosaic Stadium? And the Stamps are here that night, right? So here's what I'd like to see. Riders come out of the tunnel with the fireworks and the blazing and they bring them out and they go to, and then those two in their Blues jerseys come out with a cup behind them.
That would be pretty easy.
I think that was option A, but with sponsorship and timelines with TV and all that, I'm not certain that that's going to be able to work, but it will be very quick because it's going to be a quick in and out because that day with the cup goes so fast.
I bet.
The cup gets its beauty sleep starting at midnight.
Oh, really?
Well, nothing good happens after midnight.
Phil Pritchard has to tuck in, or what?
Get his beauty sleep, yeah.
It was funny, when we were leaving St. Louis, we bumped into him in the airport, and you can spot him like a Donald Trump.
Well,
right?
Isn't that same haircut? Yeah.
But such a beauty guy. He was wandering around the St. Louis airport because his flight into Boston was delayed, and got a chance to talk about some of his favorite Saskatchewan times. And the stories, like, that guy would be...
Does he love his job?
How can't you?
Yeah, just absolutely. Like, I mean, he gets to wear flip-flops and, you know, a hoodie around the airport. Like, he only has to dress up in that suit every once in a while. And I can't imagine it's too stressful.
The only reason I ask is that Mike Morreale's dad, Bob, was at one time the CFL's Keeper of the Grey Cup.
Really? Didn't know.
And when he was here in town, same thing, white gloves, Hall of Fame coat, same thing as Phil Pritchard. We were at a club on Dewdney.
Oh, here we go.
After the 07 Grey Cup win. I think it was 07. Might have been 2013. I don't know. I was drinking then.
It was not 13. The cup did not make it there on 13.
Okay, then it was 07. And we were in this club, probably Habano's. I think, doesn't matter. And Bob was against a pillar and watching that cup. You know when your kid's swimming and you just can't take your eye off the kid in the pool?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Yeah. So it just seemed kind of draining as the more and more and more that we got into the party, he got more and more aggravated. You know, because he's got to keep your eye on the thing. You can't take your eye off the thing.
I can't imagine... The stories. I mean, we've heard stories from the press box when Kunitz had it, or Pete Saragello's down in Estevan when Jim McKenzie came in there, and those guys. like those probably pale in comparison to some of the stories that this guy would have. I just can't imagine.
Well,
how cool
I've heard
it would be.
That it's been broken in Mario Lemieux's pool by
that's the number one story. I think
Messi but, left it at the strip club.
There's a couple different cups, right? There's the one that's
so.
Always in the Hockey Hall of Fame that comes out, I think, for the presentation on the ice every year, and then they've got a traveling cup, and then they have the backup cup that comes into the Hall of Fame when the original cup is out. So I think they've got it down to a science.
They get some stunt doubles.
but I mean, then the question becomes, which one's the real cup? Which one do you really, you know?
Does it matter really?
No, it
doesn't. Funny. I mean, you got the one, like if you got the one that all the players have on the ice, but then you have the one that really gets into the dirtiness and have some fun. But it was funny, like talking with Jaden, we were like, okay, so I've been watching a lot of Day with the Cup YouTube videos, and that's become the big thing. Like weddings these days is videographers capture the day, and we have a videographer that was lucky enough right. to have available so we can capture it for the family. But you know, tons of different routes people go. And I said, you know, do you want people to dress up for the dinner? He's like, no, like this is backwards hats, t-shirts, flip-flops and shorts, guys. Like this is just going to be grassroots fun with the cup. You don't have to get too dressed up for this.
I would hope
it's going to be fun.
Summertime.
Yeah.
Saskatchewan.
It's hockey. It's
but
Saskatchewan.
Some guys are doing it, you know, with big formal things. And I guess it just depends on maybe their upbringing and all that kind of thing.
We're going to take a timeout. Dustin Halverson staying with us, the Duke as well. Coming up next hour, CTV's Don Hewitt and Ryder, great Grey Cup champion Marcus Adams. We're going to talk some CFL next. And whatever you all would like, let us know on the Facebook wall, chiming in with your comments. It is a Wednesday morning. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth, it's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Wednesday morning sports update, Kawhi Leonard. And the Raptors can re-sign the soon-to-be free agent, but says he will respect his decision. Either way, the Toronto Blue Jays continue a three-game series with New York tonight at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees set a major league record by homering for the 28th consecutive game last night when they beat the Blue Jays 4-3. And just ahead of more with Derek Myers and Dustin Halverson, a note from our friends at the Regina Riot. They've got four tickets here. The Riot would like to invite you to join us Saturday, June 29th. We're hosting the WWCFL, Western Women's Canadian Football League, championship game. Your Regina Riot will be playing for a third straight title. There'll be a party in the park at Mosaic Stadium, 2 to 3:45. Kickoff is at 4 p.m. You can enjoy food, games, and grab some Riot swag. And right here, we've got four tickets. So two pairs. Tweet us. Actually, three pairs. We'll give away one today. Tweet us at Rod Peterson Show just randomly. And Clark will award a winner. You're going to the WWCFL Championship at Mosaic Stadium Saturday, June 29th. Regina Riot against an as yet to be determined opponent. So to the Riders, it is June. It's a home game week. Derek had some of his thoughts laid out in the warm-up section. Dustin, you still got your rider season tickets? You still got them?
With the family and everything?
Of course you do.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. No. We're going to still go lots.
Right.
But we just, like a lot of families, you end up going, okay, when can we bring our kid? And then we've got to maybe plan. So we're going to be happy to maybe just book and go with six friends and all be able to sit together and stuff like that. But commitments with kids. I don't have my golf membership either, man.
Have you taken Hartley to a game yet?
Have we? I can't remember. We've talked about it a few times. Yeah. I think we took her to the original stadium opening with the Ram game.
A little more room to
to
run around
with toddlers, you know.
Well, what do we think about the Riders this year going into the home opener against Toronto? I'm enjoying all the opinions that are out there. You have to understand, you're entitled to your opinion. Not everybody needs to agree with it. Okay, so some people are saying the sky's falling and are demanding firings. Others are saying that it's too early to panic and they're fine and they're showing good signs. And then there's a lot in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours?
I'm optimistic. It's a tough division, man. It's a tough division. It's a good league. And we have good players too. And we have a great staff. So I think you got to give them some time to gel. I mean, I think the only thing in the league that isn't amazing is the reffing, but that's the tough thing. And I don't really want to go down that road either, but I'm just saying, like, as a fan, that's one of the things that gets to be a little tough. I'm still not over the Brandon Bridge headshot at the end of the playoff game against Winnipeg.
Or Simone Lawrence playing this past weekend after trying to decapitate
that kind of stuff.
Zach Collaros.
But we saw it in the NHL level too. Like, mm-hmm. we have too much access to slow motion now, and we focus on the slow motion rather than the live play all the time. But no, when it comes to the Riders, I mean, I think if you asked anybody with the team, they would have hoped to come into the season with a little bit more of a solid plan at quarterback. They had to go with plan B or plan C. And plan C, unfortunately, turned out the way we maybe all expected, was a 6-game injured reserve at some point.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see, another guy step in last week and show that he can move the ball and move the offense. I think we're going to see the patience that we had with that receiving core last year possibly pay off this year, where guys aren't rookies anymore. And like you mentioned on your blog today, Rod, like, we're waiting on some veteran presence to still join the club and calm these guys down. It's an 18 game schedule,
right?
And would we rather be 2-0 right now? Yeah, but this team just needs to make the playoffs, right? And if you can get in and be hot in those final six and healthy, that's the CFL's motto, right? Like, being 16-2 hasn't always worked out and automatically meant a great cup either. But we'll see. Like, getting the fans will be impatient.
All right,
there's been a ton of demand for the fans' money. In this marketplace, if you look over the last few years, between the Pats run, Memorial Cup, Breyer,
CP Women's Open, Canada Nationals,
we're almost a victim of our own success or a divided vote, right? When it comes to people's money, and going to a Rider game is an expense that not everyone can do every game now, right? So they're picking and choosing. I think a home opener on a Canada Day is going to be special, and then right after that, you've got Calgary coming in, which is going to be a tough game, but a heated rivalry. And I really look at that Calgary game as the measuring stick of who we are. Now there's no more pretending, right? We've had three games, whether we're 2-1 or we're 1-2 or 0-3. That Calgary game, I think, is kind of that swing vote that's going to show us who we really are for at least the first half of the season. And nobody was thinking that we're going to make significant changes before Labor Day. And even at Labor Day, I'm not a huge fan of that unless we're sitting at 0-9. And I don't think that's our team. I don't think we're an 0-9 team at Labor Day. But if we can scratch back and be 500 at Labor Day, let's see what the second half can bring as this coaching staff and Dickey, head coach, he's only going to get better as he gets a little more under his belt.
I got to ask you both about this. We talked about this last night on television with Tom Shepard and Marshall Hamilton. Great guests. And it's how much Dickinson's being criticized right now for not wearing a headset at all, not getting that challenge in the other night on the incomplete pass that ended up being a key point of the game. And they're like, if he's not wearing a headset, they can't get down to the message from the up top. Wally Buono never wore a headset.
You.
Seemed to work okay for him. And apparently, I didn't see this clip, but apparently Craig regrets not going out onto the field earlier when Zach Kolaros got hurt. And I'm thinking, well, he's the head coach. He's got a lot of things on his mind, probably worried about who's coming into the game. Like, the criticism of him, they're right on him right now, you know, and you said it. They're not going to wait. They're not going to be patient. And I just, I don't know. I just, these fans aren't going to wait long. That's all. And if
they're
going
to have to, Rod.
Well, they're going to have to,
They're going to have to because he's not going anywhere this year. Jeremy O'Day is not a trigger-happy guy. We all know O'Day.
Right.
We all love O'Day.
Unless something like outside of wins and losses happens, unless there's...
Which won't happen.
Legal problems. No, Craig Dickinson's been in this league a long time. He's here, folks. He's here for the year. You're right.
And he's a good coach.
And the players were happy. The players were excited about him being back. That tells you something. What can be tough for these coaches is going from an assistant coach to a head coach. I remember, not to bring it back to the Blues, but let's face it, Berube was an assistant coach at the beginning of the year. And at Christmas, they were the last place team.
Right.
And I remember asking Jaden, what's going on with Berube? And he said, he's still figuring out how to be a head coach versus an assistant coach. And Dickey might be doing that right now, is figuring out, you know, as soon as you're the head guy, doesn't mean you can go for beers with the boys anymore. Might mean that you can't be the guy's favorite guy on the bus. Or, you know, a lot of assistant coaches have made a career of assistant coaches because they were great at that. But to be the head guy, maybe he shouldn't have the headset on. I've heard that, you know, a great head coach, if he's worried about the play that just happened, then who's worrying about the five plays from now?
Right.
That's got to be your captain. That's got to be the leader on the sideline thinking big picture. So I don't know. For guys to be hard on him, that's Saskatchewan. Anybody, if we were 0-2, we had Chris Jones, everyone was hard on him. When have we ever had a coach other than maybe Ken Miller that we weren't hard on?
Well, and he started 6-0, so he padded his comfort zone for a while.
He had this old way of being calm and, you know, gentlemen, it's a great day to be a rider, you know.
Good morning, riders.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So what? Can you get mad at that? That's like being mad at your grandpa.
Plus,
right?
The players loved him.
The players,
and I think the players loved Dickinson too.
I can tell you. Here it is. The Riders had a great defensive outing in Week 1 against Hamilton. And the offense obviously struggled mightily. I mean, the quarterback got hurt. So it was easy to say, oh, you know, here's McAdoo again. And it was easy to put it on that. Then they go and put up 40 points. So now you can't blame your favorite scapegoat, Stephen McAdoo. Cody Fajardo, he looked really good in that game. Now we can't blame the offense. William Powell was great. Who are we going to blame now? Well, we really can't blame the defense because they were good in the first game. Nick Marshall, well, he kind of got, you know, guys made a couple of really good catches on a couple of really good throws. That was the difference in the game. So now who are we going to pick on? Well, we're going to pick on the punter. He's out kicking the coverage. That is our number one complaint.
You've heard that too?
We're out kicking the coverage. This is no good. It's the punter's fault.
And signing him was a mistake.
And then we really sit down and think about it and go, are we really blaming the punter for an 0-2 start? Well, who else can we blame? Well, who's left? The head coach. So that's why he just continued to direct it at the head coach. We didn't have his headset on. Wally Buono never wore a headset. So don't give me that load of dung that was the problem. What about the referee, as you mentioned, that was standing 2 feet away and could have watched the ball bounce off the turf? Shouldn't have even had to waste a challenge on that. And at the end of the day, that was a 3-point play because I think they went 2-and-out the next couple of plays and had to kick a field goal. That was not the end of the game. And especially when there was a couple of controversial plays in the final 2 minutes when the Riders were down 1 score, you'd all would have been saying, oh, I wish we would have had our challenge then. It's just,
winning's,
they're looking for something.
Hard, guys.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I want to say this.
For something to blame.
To
and
producer,
so they run out of people to blame.
To producer Clark, I think we got the rant. Doesn't have to be my rant. I like it. Derek the Duke telling Rider fans to back off. I don't know if they'll listen or not.
No, they will never listen to me.
This comment came in from that's gone now, Lee Hart, but he said this is a trap game for the Riders,
and
he figures that they'll lose by 7. I was thinking about that term the other day. I don't think it's a trap game unless you're playing an 0-12 Montreal team that you're supposed to beat.
When you're right? That's 0-2, there's no such thing.
There's no such thing as a trap game.
They're in practice right now a little overconfident at 0-2, not a chance. But like you said,
they need this
if
one,
they
though.
Get through, if they can get this one, they're 1-2. If they somehow do something against Calgary at home, you're 2-2 and you just beat the perennial favorite, and now all of this is, see, let's stay the course, guys. Like, they put a team together that is very, very good in all positions except the key one, which is quarterback. But they tried. Like, the offers were out there. They were doing their best to get
they
people
might
to come
be better.
Here.
They might be better game 3 than they were going into game 1 if this guy continues on this trajectory.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, who?
Cody Fajardo.
But it's not going to come down to one guy.
But that is such a piece key right now, Rod. Like, I don't think you look at our running back. Our backfield's pretty darn good. You don't look at a piece of the team and say that's where we're really weak. It's the question mark at quarterback, which I feel like we've never not talked about in Saskatchewan. But if we see some stability come in there, whether it's Cody or it's Zach when he's healthy, he has a very good winning record. But like, we're 2 games in. Would we rather be like, would the Riders have thought on the road for our first 2 games, can we come out of it 1-1? They would have been happy with that, right?
I would think.
So we're really especially facing the East.
We're 1 game behind where we maybe would have hoped to be, and we've got a chance to get it back this weekend.
I think fans are in for a major treat next hour when Don Hewitt joins us, along with Rider great Marcus Adams from Phoenix, Grey Cup champion. My question to everybody is, would you rather be the 0-2 BC Lions with Mike Riley at the helm, or the 0-2 Riders without a Mike Riley at the helm, or a bold Levi Mitchell? That's something we'll put to Don and the panel when we come back in hour 2. Again, Dustin, you were here to talk about Stanley Cup plans. Can you just go through that Saturday, July 6th schedule again from what you know at this point?
Yeah, so July 6th will be Jaden Schwartz Day with the Cup, and he's going to do something that I think is very important to their family, to go by the hospital with their family history. That was important to them to do that. Then the public event that everyone is welcome to be a part of is at the Parliament, the Ledge. I believe Premier Mo will have a few words, a little bit of a program and an autograph signing. I believe that's scheduled for around 11:30 for a couple of hours. So get there early to be in a good line, because I don't think everyone will get through because the day is so short. And I believe the next event that is for close family and friends starts around 1:30. So, but then the plan is to take it to Mosaic for the Riders versus the Stamps and share it with Rider Nation, which I think is pretty cool for both Ty and Jaden to have the opportunity to do that.
It'll be leading off SportsCenter for sure. Dusty, let's do it again soon.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Dustin Halverson. Don Hewitt slides into that chair after the break. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
One of the things I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop staffed by PGA of Canada professionals is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca. locally owned and family operated. Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.